Open your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter number 43. And we've been going, study through the book of Isaiah and different messages. And I'm excited about the movie that's going to be here on Friday night, Fireproof. I've heard so much about it. It's a powerful movie. But I want to preach to you this morning on being water and fireproof. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? I have a watch. I have one watch at the house that has a cracked crystal on it. And through the fog that's in it, you can read waterproof. But it's only waterproof if you don't break the crystal. So this is one that somebody gave me. And it's strange that just, you know, I can, God's been so good to me, but especially if I break my watch, as soon as I say my watch is broken, they line up to give me new watches. And, but I appreciate that. And I do thank the Lord for that. They know it really doesn't mean much because number one, I can't see real well. Sometimes I can't see my watch. And then two, I try not to worry about it, the time too much. I don't want to keep you so long. Don't want to wear you out. But I want you to hear the word of God. Amen. And wonderful. The book of Isaiah. Will you look with me as I read? Now, what I want to do, I'm going to deal with chapter 43. But in chapter 42, we saw some great things there. And we understood that God's in control. And what he's done, the nation of Israel has rebelled so against him and fallen in idolatry that he has chastened them. He's caused the Assyrians to come and take the northern part of the kingdom into Assyria, raised up then the Babylonian kingdom. They came and took the southern kingdom and into captivity. And he's prophesied that he's going to raise up a great Persian empire. After about 70 years, he'll release the children of Israel to go back into the land. And that's a wonderful promise. But he's dealing in the latter part of chapter 42 with his chastening. And they're trying to figure out why they're having such a hard time. They're trying to figure out why they've experienced such tragedy nationally and why they're having so many problems nationally. And God says to them, hey, wait a minute. I want you to understand why all this is happening. So let me just read the verse to you and notice what it says. The Lord says this in verse 22. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivered, for a spoil and none saith restore. Who among you will give ear to this, and who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Now, he says, why is all this happening? Why are you having all these problems going on? Why is all of this thing going on nationally? He says, verse 24, who gave Jacob for spoil and Israel to the robbers? And he's saying, who's in control of this thing? Who is it that caused the northern kingdom to go into captivity or allowed them to go into captivity? Who is it that dealt with the nation of Israel, the southern tribes, and led them into captivity? Did not the Lord? Now, here's why. He against whom we have sinned. Now, the reason for that national calamity was because of sin. And these people, God's chosen people, had sinned. For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient to his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and hath set him on high, on fire, round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. They didn't recognize it was God doing that. So, now I want you to look at chapter 43. Now, he's chastening them. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he chastens every son. Now, chastening is not condemnation. The Bible said there's therefore no condemnation then in Christ Jesus. In other words, when you're saved and you're God's child, there's no condemnation to you. But there is chastening to the children of God. Just like if you have a child, they're your child. But if they're ever disobedient to you, you correct them. And chastening is corrective. It is God dealing with us to bring us to a place of repentance, to a place to where we can get right with him once again. Now, he says this to the nation of Israel, though. Look in chapter 43. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witness that they may be justified, and let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Will you bow with me for just a brief word of prayer? Father, I pray now for the anointing of God, and I pray, God, that you'd speak to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls once again from your word. And God, I know that there's some people here today who are going through very difficult times. They're going through times, our Father, of physical problems, and some through financial problems, and so through, Lord, emotional problems, but God, some through family problems or spiritual battles. But God, help us to understand your wonderful promises to your people tonight and today. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to speak. Lord, if there's a lost man, a woman, boy, girl here, I pray by Jesus' sake, by his name, I pray, God, you'd save them. And then, Father, I pray, God, you'd encourage God's people today, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share this with you quickly this morning. Now, if you will, please get a piece of paper and write down some scriptures, because I want to share some things with you that are very important. Many of them are what we'd call classics, and we got 66 books here of classic verses, but some of these are verses that you'll need, and I promise you're going to need some of these, and I don't have time to go through them all this morning in any detail, but I want you to write them down. And I want to say to you in the first place, this passage of scripture I've just read, the primary emphasis is, of course, on the nation of Israel. These are promises to Israel. And I don't think that you can take and transpose the church into Israel. They're two distinct bodies. God has a earthly people, that is the Jew, and God has a heavenly people, that is the believing church, the body of Christ. And so, but there are truths and promises that apply to both. And this is one of those great truths that God has made to us. And I want to tell you something. You know, people will promise you things and they don't have any intention of ever doing it. And there are some who will promise you some things, but they don't have the ability to do it. If I had the capability, nobody in this church would ever be sick. If I had the capability, the financial means, nobody in this fellowship would ever be under financial strain. And I have a good friend in this church, and he's not able to attend very much. He has physical problems. But he's, and we love him, prayed for him. And he's often told me, Brother Billy, if everything ever worked out, he said, you would never have to worry about anything. I'd do something for you financially. And I wouldn't even think about I would love to see God bless him. But what I'm saying is this. So many people want to do things that they don't have the ability to do. But can I tell you something? There's somebody who loves you. There's somebody who wants to bless you. There's somebody who has everything you need. And when he makes a promise to you, you can carry it to the bank. Now, I want you to see those two little things first of all. And so if you will, either write down or turn quickly to the book of 2 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 4. Of course, I'm talking about the Lord God, and that's what he says to the nation of Israel here. But look over in the book of 2 Peter in chapter 1 in verse 4, either write the verse down, and listen where it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, but by these ye might be takers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice, God has given us exceeding great and precious precious promises. Now you say, Brother Billy, I've had a lot of people to promise me things. I've had people in days gone by to promise me things and they didn't do it. Families lied to me. Friends have lied to me. Neighbors have lied to me. But I want to show you a verse over here in 2 Corinthians. Write this down. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I want to show you in verse number 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. He's saying that God's promises are real and true. You can depend on God's promises. Now, let me say something to you. God never expresses his love at the expense of his holiness. God's not going to overlook any of our sin. God's not going to turn his back on any of our sin. God's going to deal with our sin. As a lost person, God does not ignore your sin. You come to me and you say, Brother Billy, I want to get saved, but I've done so many wicked things in the past that I don't think God could ever save me or ever forgive me. Now, let me say, when we talk about God forgiving sin, he does not do that just simply by his own volition or by his own will. He is a sovereign, holy God, and he does not compromise his holiness to express his love. He is just, and he's gonna do everything just exactly right. So how then, Brother Billy, can God be a holy God, and how can he justify me and forgive me of all my sins, knowing everything I've done? That's simple. That's simple. That's the glorious gospel of Christ. That's what it's all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Because you see, what God did is he took all of your sin and all of my sin and put it on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God committed his love. God showed his love. He does not compromise his holiness to demonstrate his love. God commended his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God expressed his love, but not at the expense of his holiness or his justice. He judged our sin. Our sins have been atoned for. Our sins have been paid for because Jesus Christ bore all of your sin, all of my sin, all the sin of the whole world in his own body. And God's perfectly holy, and he judged all of our sin. In other words, it's already been redeemed. He accepted that gracious gift of his own Son to redeem us and to give us everlasting life. Same thing's true in the life of the believer. You're God's child. You're God's child. He loves you. But he's not going to love you and ignore your disobedience. God knows everything you've ever said, everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever done. And if you're God's child and you do things contrary to the Word of God, he's not going to love you and excuse your disobedience. What does he do? Well, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he chastens us. He chastens us. That's exactly what happened to Israel. But now notice in this wonderful passage of Scripture, who is it he's talking to here? Who are we? Understand who you are. Who is he addressing? Who's he referring to? Notice what he says. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee. Here's the first thing. Number one is people who he has formed and created. You've been created by God. You've been fashioned by God. Every person in this building, every person in the radio audience is completely unique. Not a person in the world like you. Never has been, never will be. I was in a meeting this week, and this lady from another area came to that meeting where I was at. And she came up to me. I'd never met her. She'd never met me. And she said, Brother Billy, when we came in tonight, my sister is with me. My sister came. Her husband just recently died, had cancer and died. And when we came in, I saw you immediately, and I thought you were him. You looked so much like him. And then she said during the service, the other sister noticed it. And so she said, oh, my goodness, and looked at that. Now, when we got to talk and we met and knew, they knew that, of course, there was a great difference. And so you see people that are similar. And we have what's called identical twins. We've got some twins in our church. But everyone is unique. You ask mom and dad, they're different girls. And they're different because God formed you, created you. And do you understand? God created you for his own pleasure. God made you for his own pleasure. And he says this, when you go through the water, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you that in a minute. When you go through the fire, he said, it'll not kindle upon you. Why? Because you're very precious to him. You're his by creation. He made you. Write these verses down. And I don't have time to go to all of them, but will you write down the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16? And then in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And here's what it says. It says, by him were all things made that were made, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Lord Jesus Christ fashioned you. Now, on Wednesday night, we rejoiced in the birth of little Lacey. And she's a precious little baby girl. And thank the Lord for her. And God formed her. Now you think about it. The Bible said God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And do you know that when you were born, you were formed in the womb by the very hands of God? You're very special to him. You're unique to him. And he's not willing that anyone should perish. Not only are we his by creation, but notice a little further in this passage of Scripture. And notice what it says here in chapter 43. And it says this. He said, he's the one who formed us, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. He's not only created us, but he redeemed us. And that's what I was talking about a while ago. Do you know that when Jesus Christ died, God formed you? We say he died for the whole world. But you know that God knew you before your mom and daddy ever knew you? God knew you would be there, and God formed you and fashioned you, and he loves you that much. But then when he gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew all about you. He knew every sin you'd ever commit. He knew everything you'd ever do. And Jesus Christ, knowing you, and he gave his son to pay for all your sin. He redeemed us. He redeemed us. Bible said we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Will you write that down? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. He has redeemed us. He's redeemed us. And so he gave us everlasting life. How many of you this morning know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has redeemed you and you've experienced that? Raise your hand. You know that you're saved. Well, thank the Lord. Do you understand that God didn't write a blank check and say anybody wants to can be saved, although anybody can be saved? I want you to understand this. God has something for you. Now, if it's the Lord's will, if it's the Lord's will, when Regina, we'll be married 45 years on December the 19th. And for some strange reason, we decided we want to take all the children, all the grandchildren, to see the Carolina Opry. And so I've tried to make arrangements to do that. Now, the lady said this to me. She said, do you want me to send all of these people their ticket? I said, well, what other option do we have? She said, well, they can just pick it up at the will call window. And I got blessed. I really got blessed. I said, you mean they can pick it up? It's got their name on it. And they just pick it up. And it's already paid for at the will call window. And she said, yes, sir. It'll be here when they want it. And you know what God did? God didn't just write a blank check. God had a ticket for you. He said, look in this passage of Scripture, I've called thee by thy name. When God saved Brother Barry, didn't I see Barry back here a while ago? Brother Barry testifies about God walking back in the backfield. Before the foundation of the world, God knew Brother Barry. And when he formed him in the womb, he already had made provision for his salvation in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had a ticket with his name on it. It wasn't just, it is whosoever will become. But do you understand what I'm saying to you? I've called you by name. There's a ticket for you at the will call window. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You already got a ticket. any person in this building, any person in the radio audience, God's already made provision for you to go to heaven. My dear friend, you can listen. That lady said, do you want some cancellation insurance? And I said, what's that? And she said, well, just in case some of them choose not to come, do you want me to have it to where you can get a refund, get your money back? I said, no, ma'am. I said, if I pay for it, I'm a hauling them, everyone, whether they're sick or not. Listen, can I say something to you? He has no cancellation policy. He's already paid. It's already paid for. Already paid for. Not going to cancel that on you. But my dear friend, listen, that's the people he addresses. That word called by name means more than just speaking your name. In John chapter 10, he says this in verse 3. He said, I call my sheep by name and they follow me. It has to do with what we call an effectual call. It is God speaking to your heart and calling you by His grace and calling you by name. I don't know about you. And I've not been greatly involved in politics, never have. But I have voted in every election since I've been old enough to vote. But I've never, in spite of if I even gave a little bit of money, you get all kind of letters and stuff like that. But I've never got a personal call from any presidential candidate or any president. But I did get a call one day. It was a personal call from the King of Glory, the King of Kings. And you know what it did? It wasn't a general run of the mill. It wasn't it was a personal call. He called me by name and spoke to me. I never will forget Regina's daddy. She was in the hospital, and I was there. We've and her daddy visiting. And her dad's the first person ever really witnessed to me about Christ, and other than my mother. But his name was Jesse Lee Vivert. And I remember he'd always say this to people, you call me Kit. That's what Jesus calls me. Jesus knows your name. He doesn't know your legal name, although he does know that. But he calls you by your name. The name that you recognize, the name that you respond to, he calls you by that name. That's the people he's talking about. I got to get through. I want you to notice not only the people, but notice the pathway that you'll have to travel. Look at how it's worded. He said this in verse number 2. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Notice this. He didn't say if you go through the floods of water. He didn't say if you go through the fire. Because I promise you that every person, even those who are redeemed by the grace of God, those who are created for His glory, you will go through waters of flood. You will go through fire. You're going to go through those things. And let me just suggest this to you. When I think about the waters and the floods, I think about circumstances. You're going to go through some tough times. You're going to go through some hard times, some tough things in your life that are just part of living in this life. Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. Everybody has that. Every Christian goes through the same circumstances that so many other people go through. And they're going to be tough time. But he made you this promise. You don't have to go by yourself. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. And you're going to go through that. You're going to go through difficult times. You may go through horrible sickness. I've got a preacher friend right now that I talked to on the phone this morning that's going through cancer, loves God, praising the Lord, just magnifying Him. But he's suffering physically, I can tell it. I know he's been going through some tough times physically. And you're going to go through that. You're going to experience some of those times. Circumstances, floodwaters come over you, but they'll not overflow you. He'll protect you through it. And notice this. He said this. He said, when you go through the fire, when I think of fire, I think about persecutions. I think about when they took those three Hebrew children, threw them in that fiery furnace. But they went through it. And you're going to go through persecution. You're going to have all kind of people, all kind of things come against you. You are an enemy of the devil and all the demons of hell. And he'll use anything and anybody. And most of the time, the things that he knows will get to you and the people can get to you. That's what he's going to use. The devil's going to use those things. And you're going to have persecution. But he said, when you go through those fires, he said, I'll be with you. Notice what he said here in this passage of Scripture. Not only the pathway, and I'm skipping a lot of stuff because I know my time's gone. I'd like to spend some time. These are ordained fires. These are ordained floods. God's got a path for you to go. Remember that time when the Lord took those disciples, put them on a ship, and he said, let's go to the other side. And they got out in the middle of the ship, and there's a horrible storm come up. Do you think the Lord didn't know that storm was coming? Do you think the Lord didn't know they were going to go through a turbulent sea, that they had no control over that ship whatsoever? Do you think that they were not going to come to the point when they realized the ship was sinking and they'd go down and they were going to shake him and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he gets up on the bow of that ship and he said, peace be still. And it's calm. I promise you there are some ordained fires that you'll go through, some ordained floods you'll go through. And Paul said, God put me through some things, some troubles. He said that I might not trust in myself, but I might trust in God. God's going to do that for you. I got news for you. Whatever you're going through, it may be the darkest hour of your life. That word cancer is a big word. Heartache and sorrow, children in rebellion. But I've got news for you. There are some promises, not only a pathway, but some promises. And I'm through. What does he promise us, Brother Billy? Well, in the first place, I want to say he promises you the security of his property. You are his. The Bible says that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're bought with a price. He said, when you go through this tough time, he said this. He said, you're going to be secure. I'm going to keep you. Not only will he secure his property, but he's going to provide you adequate protection. Notice what he said. You're going to be protected from the flood and through the fire. And you're going through a time right now. Let me tell you something. God's taking care of you. God's going to take care of you. You may not see it. You may not understand it. But God's taking you through it. And thank the Lord for that. Not only will he provide you with adequate protection, but he promises you his constant presence. He says this, and you can write this down if you will, please. Write it in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. He said this. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can go through the fire. You can go through the flood because he said this, I'm going to be with you. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. And the last thing I say to you is this, he says about these fires and this flood, it will accomplish its purpose. Notice what he said. He said, when you pass through the waters, when you walk through the fire. Doesn't look like it now. Looks like it's the darkest day of your life. Looks like the sun will never shine again. The birds will never sing again. But here's the promise. You will come through. You're going to come out on the other side. I pray for a lot of people. And people say, well, you know, so-and-so, I don't understand it. We prayed for mama, prayed for mama, prayed for mama. Prayed she'd be well. Prayed she'd be happy. And God let her die anyway. I said, well, honey, let me tell you something. God kept his word, and he answered your prayer. And she said, oh, but Brother Billy, she died. I said, you just told me you prayed for her to be well and for her to be happy. Can I tell you something? She's never been weller than she is today, never been healthier, and she's never been happier than she is today. Now, that leaves us down here going through the fire, doesn't it? That leaves us down here going through the water. But can I tell you something? We will get through. God will accomplish his purpose. He will bring it through us. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. My dear friend, God has a purpose in what you're going through. And I want you to know this. You are fireproof and you're waterproof. You just hang in there. It may rage all around you. The children of Israel, those three Hebrew children thrown in that fiery furnace, the only thing it did was burn off their bonds. They came out, and the Bible said they didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. Hallelujah for that. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm through this morning. Let me say this to you. We're going to have a word of prayer. Brother Brad's going to come sing a song. I want to ask you a question. I'm talking about the fires of persecution, the fires of affliction. But there's another fire the Lord said you'd better be afraid of. He says here twice, fear not. I didn't have time to deal with that. He said, fear not because of what I've done in the past for you. And fear not because of my abiding presence. You don't have to worry. You think about all he's done for you in the past. You don't have to fear. You think about he's with you right now. You don't have anything to worry about. Just don't fear. But he does say to a group of people, fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell fire. You'd better fear that fire.